Good afternoon, Muskegon.
Good afternoon.
This is Tony Williams.
And Chauncey Williams with What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for financial success with 103.7 The Beat.
All right, March Madness is upon us.
Yes, it is.
And it's been great. It's been enjoyable and also been heartbreaking.
Man, it's been heartbreaking. Michigan State, it's been a rough year, roller coaster year. But the other night I saw why Jock Jackson went to Kansas. He needed them guards and he needed those bigs. Man, I almost wish Deontay Davis would have gave us another year. But, hey, I understand people's circumstances.
Me, talk to me. Man. I said the same thing, Chauncey. I don't, you know, don't begrudge the brother for taking the money.
That's right.
And going to the next level. But it would have been really fun to watch him one more year.
Because Josh Jackson pulled out the last minute when he found D.D. leave.
Right.
He was committed to State. And then we thought we had him. I know we did.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, man. And right now, that's who in the cat seat, man.
Yeah, he the number one Kansas. Seat. Yeah, he number one pick for me.
Yep. So, if going, you know, the Sweet 16, it will be interesting. Michigan Wolverines, they had a really life-altering experience with the plane crash. And ever since the plane crash, they haven't lost a basketball game. You know?
I told everybody riding it all the way to the Final Four. I said, man, they showed up in their practice jerseys and played the game.
Right.
So that's just all set up for an ESPN story.
Oh, they love it. It's the Cinderella, man.
Yep, it's the Cinderella.
You know, before the dance, anybody you ride them in the car, they got the top down. Top is up. You don't want nobody to see you with the Wolverines.
You're right.
Okay. Tournament is starting. They got the top down.
And everything.
Showing her off, man. Yeah. But we wish them well, you know.
Yep, you're
Big
right.
Big Ten. We root for the Michigan teams as well as the Big Ten. So it's going to be fun. I'm interested in that. And high school basketball.
Grand Rapids Christian put it on Kalamazoo. I know that.
I listened to that game on the radio, and at the end of the third quarter.
It was close.
It was 30-34. Couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
30-34, going into the fourth.
Yes, sir. But he ended like 59 or 39 or something.
Killed them. Doubled them up, man.
How that happen? He was going to the post or like fast breaks or what?
They got cold. They played like Muskegon did, man. They couldn't get a bucket. And then everything that Grand Rapids threw at the basket.
Went in.
And there was a definite discrepancy in fouls. I think that in the third quarter, there was like 18 fouls called on Grand Rapids, on Kalamazoo Central, man. And that, you know, that took a lot of their guys out of the game. But to take nothing away from Grand Rapids, Christian, they won. And they play tomorrow.
Okay? They play tomorrow.
Semis. And they got a good shot at winning the state championship.
Yes, they do. And got another sleeper in there. Romulus is there.
Romulus beat UAD Jesuit.
That 3-point in the corner.
The defending Class A state champions from last year.
It was like 56 up. Somebody drove the baseline, drew the two twin towers.
Yep.
Kicked to that corner. He said, I'm going to make that. You throw it to the corner. Oof.
I watched the bench, man, on the clip. And when it hit his hands, the bench stood up like, we know that's money.
Don't get it. So I know Terry Mills and them and all those cats from Romulus happy. And Romulus, they always have a decent team. And everybody thought it was.
They're competitive.
They became a dark horse during the end of the season. So it was good to see that it's going on. Then we have our local people. Not really local. Luddington's not local, but they down there.
Yeah, Luddington is still in it.
Yep.
Class Spring B. Lake just got beat by Benton Harbor.
Benton Harbor.
The Tigers was playing, man. Them Tigers throwing down.
So Benton Harbor's still in it too, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So they made it down there. And then some of my homeboys from the Detroit side of school district I used to work at, River Rouge, they down there.
Rouge.
The Rouge Pants. They back. The Rouge Rats too. The Riverside boys, my homeboys, they made it down. So it's looking pretty good for some people.
So, yeah, so Saturday morning we'll be watching high school basketball at the Breslin. Yes, that's awesome, man. Great time of the year. So, but, hey, man, we got a lot of stuff that we've been kicking around.
Yes, sir.
We'd like to share with our audience, and it's just so much information, and it's so hard to just take one item and stick with it. So we're going to try a little smorgasbord today.
That's right.
Try to hit a few items along the way. And earlier in the session, we talked about, right around the election.
That's right.
We talked about where you should be looking at as far as investing with this new administration coming in.
And that's what, and I must let you know, I told him, and it's prison stock. It's prison stock breakout.
We talked about privatizing the prison industry, along with this, you know, this initiative for the illegal immigrations and getting tough on crime. This is what old dude was talking about. So in retrospect, there's some interesting information
that's
released
right.
about how those particular stocks are performing.
And there's also a documentary that we're actually watching this week. It's called 13th, about how the 13th Amendment says that you can't own slaves, but you can change. If you commit a crime, you go right back into that system of slavery through institutionalized through the prison system,
right,
where you can work for a corporation for a 17 cent an hour.
Mm-hmm. That's what it is.
Making different products. So that's what it is. And I know you mentioned before we came on air, if you look at you, I mean, you probably can iterate on that. I didn't write it down, but you said felonies and
slave day laws.
Slave day laws.
Look at the laws that back in slavery where slaves
you can't own land.
Can't vote. Can't
vote.
Land, can't receive government, any kind of government subsidies or programs.
Right to bear arms.
Can't bear arms. I'm sure there are a list of a lot more, but off the surface, we'll just take those two.
Certain professions you can't serve in. Certain jobs
absolutely.
You can't do.
Oh, yeah.
Certain places you can't go. Certain places you can't live.
Yeah. Can't live. I mean, certain. If you
certain licenses you can't hold.
No. No. You'll never be a stockbroker on Wall Street.
A banker.
Okay. Or a banker. Anybody, you can't have a felony in those jobs. So if there's a felony on your record, you can't hold those positions. A police officer. Okay. Public office. Those kinds of things. And then you look at if that happened, if you take a look at today's world, and when you say you've been institutionalized for committing a felony, what are the statutes that the law takes away from you when you're released?
Wow, that's some deep stuff. I'm looking at this stock that I bought this stock a long time ago. I do have CoreCivic, and I remember buying it at $14. And now, this paper that we're holding right now, it says it's worth $31.
And that's been basically since the election.
And I bought it right before Christmas. I know. I remember buying it. It was like it was $15 when I purchased it.
Doubled.
It
in
doubled.
A matter of months.
It's growing.
Okay.
Because I remember last time I bought something, it was 30 something. It was $28. I was like, I'm done buying it. I'm just going to hold it.
Good move.
And I had a significant number of shares, too. I remember that. I'm going to check it tonight, going over those again. But it's there. It's obvious. And it's audience, if you haven't watched the documentary yet, you got to watch the documentary 13, and you'll understand why they see crime as a commodity. Going back as far as Richard Nixon, going back as far as those presidents that
Reagan.
Johnson, yep. Going back as far as Abraham Lincoln when he died, and how Johnson and them changed the laws or the Freedmen laws, and how they made African American sharecroppers, and they did certain things where they shifted the whole economics because they saw 4 million people being set free as minorities. So they said, "What's the shift?" And I was talking with someone earlier, and I said, "Well, it's two institutions that were created. They were created universities, and they created prisons." And when you look at those two entities, one of them was created to keep people sharecropping because you had to have somebody that unionized labor. So you had to have somebody that was a skilled worker that learned so-called sciences or was certified to be a supervisor or to hold the land grant money. Mm-hmm. And they can hire you on their actual land to work their land, but they could charge you as a landlord. So they had to have the rights over you. So they was accredited by this university to be able to supply supplement services or supply services to the country, as in milk, food, dairy products, things of that
products,
nature, agriculture products, grass, turf,
cotton.
Things that we're talking about, cotton. So it was able to mechanize, that's the word I'm looking for, mechanize America through this university way. But then if you were working there and they didn't, and you were the type of person that said, well, I'm not going to do that, if you committed a crime, they would lock you up. So then that's the other side of making a dollar. So either way, they was going to make some money off of you in either capacity.
Okay, yeah. Because prisons produce products. Okay, Jackson had one of the largest furniture producing facilities in this state at one time. Okay, building office furniture.
Yes.
And paying these guys a wage, but it was very minimal, 10, 12 cents an hour to produce these products. License plates, they still make license plates in the penal system. And there's agriculture growth in the penal system as well. But you're absolutely right. These are both institutions designed to mechanize economic growth.
Yeah, and their populations shot up right after that time. And I was just sitting with someone else, and I say, Google any university that you want, but don't Google the prehistoric, the historical universities like Princeton, Yale, Harvard, the ones that's been around forever.
Yeah.
Research the ones like Oregon State, Oklahoma State, mm-hmm. Michigan State, and look at the date that they were founded. It's slavery, yeah, 1850 or 1860, 1870. So that's a 30-year gap where someone knew that, oh, we got to have these universities pop up. They making money off these universities. So the ones in the 1850s, they knew something was coming along.
Yep.
They said, we got to create this.
Got to be ready.
We got to be ready to create this new wave of people that we're going to have to train, or it's going to be some people that's going to lose some land. So we have to make sure that we build stock in these places that we call universities. Mm-hmm. So we can unite and form an allegiance to form some type of credibility and say, we do this at this university, we do this research, and everything is research-based because you got all these scientists and professors and so-called people that have knowledge in something. So mm-hmm. now they can put a system out and a service to make sure they mechanize our country to make it faster, but also being able to take the land grants and the government funding to keep the land going and making so-called viable citizens. So that's that part of that prison stock breakout. That's how I'm looking at that.
Yeah, and it's going up. So even if you haven't purchased some, purchase it, because you know, we're in the evolution of this administration and its initiatives around the immigrations.
Yes.
Because even if you deport them, you got to have some place to put them before you deport them, which is going to be in these private institutions, which we'll have to pay those institutions to house them until they are actually deported. We're going to get tough on crime, supposedly, which, again, is going to increase the prison population. And there's a draft on that document, Chauncey, to your left, where you can see over the last few years, the
yes, the population has increased.
Population has been going down.
It's going down small increments. But look at the time. It says 2010. Like, so if you go to two bars, 2008. So all those, that's the President Obama. So that's going down. So that's affecting private corporations.
And now, in 2 years from now, we'll take that same chart and we will see the upward movement in that chart, because they're definitely going to start locking folks up for a longer period of time.
I mean, you can even look at the shift of, I mean, we're an urban radio station and we really for the community, heart of the community. You can even see the shift of the change of the drug culture.
Oh.
That's being put out in the communities. Heroin being the big one.
Right.
Like, isn't that a drug that was primarily in the 60s and 70s?
Yeah.
So why it's making a strong wave back right now.
On the backs of the opiate, okay?
Yes.
All the addiction from the pills, right?
That's right.
So pharmacists, these pharmacies was cranking out these pills, right? We had an appetite that they couldn't satisfy. So now if the price of these pills go up, heroin comes back onto the market at a lower cost, basically, but with the same result from the person that's addicted. So now we got this huge epidemic of people that want the heroin.
That's right. So okay. Then now you got a drug that give you football numbers when it comes to sentencing.
Yes.
But then you got a drug that people need that they don't have in a certain amount of period of time. They become deathly sick.
Yep. They become deathly sick and become very aggressive when it comes to satisfying that need, satisfying that addiction.
So they'll commit a crime.
They're going to commit a crime.
You could take the nicest person in the world and take one hit of that drug and they done.
And they hooked. They on it. And it's strange is that when it's in the urban areas.
Yes, sir.
Okay. We have a drug problem. When it goes to the suburbs, it becomes a epidemic.
That's right. That means you just got to throw out some double charges for some people.
Yeah. And it's just the subtle way that we coin and we phrase the areas in which these drugs are prevalent.
Yes, sir.
Okay. And it's a little bit more of a bigger issue now that it's in the suburbs, because it's an epidemic. In the inner city, it's a problem. But an epidemic has more of an impactful meaning than when you just say we got a problem. So therefore, the task force to fight the flow of drugs increases, because now we have people of prominence being affected by this drug. When you got lawyers and doctors and professionals and their children are being hooked on these drugs and destroying their lives, it takes a whole different meaning about what its effect on society. As long as it's in the urban area,
you don't have too much care about it.
But it knows no race, no culture, no creed.
No economic status. No, but if you get it, it got you.
It doesn't care. And, I mean, I go back to James Brown's book, that song, yes. King Heroin. It was profound. Okay?
Yes, sir.
You know, make a schoolboy forget his books and make a good-looking girl forget her looks. So, yeah, all that's going to play into these stocks rising in value.
Wow. So that you heard it here, audience. This is how it is. I can remember look back as early as this past summer. I was in a situation where I saved two people's lives because
right.
they were overdosing over heroin. One of them was at a stoplight. One of them was sitting on the porch, and I was jogging by. I was like, look, like he nodding out or something, and that's crazy that I can. It's prevalent, but talking to emergency care people, like hospital people, they say they getting a client every day, two or three a day.
Oh, two or three a day, yeah, man.
Some of them dying though every day. Somebody dying every day off of a heroin overdose.
Yeah, they have this pen or this syringe that you can use or
to bring them back.
Nasal spray. It's a blocker, sort of like a opiate blocker, where you use it on people that are overdosing. I wish I really knew the name of that stuff, but again, from a pharmaceutical sales point. That is going to take off as well, whoever the maker of this drug is, because until they can stem the flow, people are going to continue to use it. And then the other thing is what they're cutting them with.
Elephant tranquilizer.
Yeah, there was a drug they talked about that was like 1,000 times more potent than the heroin itself. And these guys was using it to cut the drug. And, of course, that's left, you know, that end up with the higher overdoses.
So they all go back into crime again.
Back to crime again, man. So this drug thing is serious. It's a vicious cycle, and you can't condone it. And if you got to lock them up in order to reduce that amount of it in the streets, then so be it. That's the way you fight crime.
It affects families. It
tear
things apart. It shatter things. But when you're looking at mammoth and greed, it's like a system that works towards to enhance the economics.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's another piece that I picked up over the weekend that affects everybody in our listening audience, and it's about the no-fault.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you said you were talking about that earlier.
No-fault fund fees just got increased. Well, they're going to be increased in July.
So like, no-fault insurance is basically they say you got some insurance, right?
Well, this goes a little deeper than that. This particular one, it's the Catastrophic Claims Association, okay? And right now, for every 6 months, you are charged $160. And this comes through your insurance premium, okay? They're not collected through the Secretary of State, or you don't send them a check. This is collected through your auto insurance company.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going from $160 to $170. Well, that don't sound like much. But when you look at the numbers, it is mind-boggling, okay? Along with the fact that we did raise the registration fees 20% this year for your automobile. Just the other day, I went and renewed my automobile tags for two vehicles. It was over $300, okay, for the registration. All right? So, give you a little quick backdrop on the MCAA fees. And if you have an auto policy, look at it. You'll see it down at the bottom. And there's also some statutory fees, which is a whole different charge. But this is how it breaks down. The MCAA is a nonprofit that all auto insurances pay into for personal injury protection due to the state's auto no-fault system. The cost is built into premiums Michigan motorists pay. When a crash results in serious injury, the auto insurer pays an initial $550,000, that's over $500,000, in medical costs, and the MCAA reimburses for the cost afterwards. In other words, your insurance company, you're in an accident, and your bills are $1 million. Your insurance company will pay the first $500,000. Then the MCAA will reimburse your insurance company for the other $500,000. Okay? Now, Michigan drivers are guaranteed unlimited lifetime medical benefits. No other state has that arrangement. Okay. Now, I'm going to give you another little breakdown here. The Catastrophic Claims Association has assets of $18.8 billion, but its liabilities amount to $20.7 billion. Last year, it paid out more than $1.1 billion or $93 million a month.
Whoa, that's deep.
$93 million a month, this MCAA fees paid out to people in the state of Michigan that have been injured in automobile accidents for medical cost. Okay? As of June of last year, there were 16,053 open claims. Since its inception, the association has handled 35,275 claims and has paid out more than $14 billion. That's a lot of money, okay? That's only for medical. That's just medical. That's not counting any other incidentals that might come up where if a person is injured, that, you know, your wages, okay? You get paid your wages if you're injured in an automobile accident. You get paid incidental coverages if you can't clean your house, you can't cut your grass. You, whatever you can't do, you have to pay somebody to do it. In Michigan, you get somebody to do it for you, they get paid. So when you go and you ask for a no-fault auto insurance quote from a company and you think, wow, that's a lot of money. Well, that's a little bit of why. That's not all of it, but that's a pretty good chunk as to why it is so expensive. We are the number one state in the union. United States
for no fault
when it comes to operating a motor vehicle. So what I mean is when it comes to the amount of taxes you pay for gasoline, when it comes to how much you pay for your insurance, when it comes to
thank Henry Ford for that.
All that stuff, just to operate a vehicle in the state of Michigan, we are the highest in the country.
Because thank Henry Ford for that.
Okay.
Because he said you don't need no train system. You don't need no subways.
No public transportation.
You don't need none of that. So he made sure that we had highways and I'll make you an affordable car.
Yep. And we're going to give you a job so you can afford to buy one.
That's why we're in the situation we're in right now.
But if you go to any large metropolitan area outside of Detroit,
you won't need a car.
You won't need a car. We got them all, though, in every metropolitan area. That's your choice. But if you live, say, in the city of Chicago and you work downtown Chicago, you don't need a car.
You can live 20, 30 miles away. Yep. And it'll take you all the way home. You'll be a Uber ride away, a 5-minute Uber ride away from your house.
Mm-hmm.
And you just right to the back to the transit. When we went to Washington, D.C., it was like that.
Everybody uses the train system.
We went to D.C., and I was talking to a guy. He said, man, I live an hour away from work, from my house.
Yeah.
And he got into a Mercedes-Benz when he left. I said, how far you drive? He said, I drive 5 miles to the train station.
Okay.
They asked every day. So they said, this car don't got no miles on it. And then he was like, when I get back in it, when I get on this train, he said, I'm going a whole hour ride. Mm. Every day, I was like, wow, hour there, an hour back. But the money worth it, he said. Like, you know, professional, he was it's like a professor or something. But he's like, the money worth it. But he said, I'm not putting no miles on my car.
Mm-mm. There's people that commute from Philadelphia to New York.
That's why leases are good for certain people like that. They can lease a vehicle. And they'll be in a great situation because they don't have to worry about the transit. They don't have to worry about being transit in traffic with their cars. Now, I remember living in Detroit. I put a lot of miles on the car in a month. I need an oil change probably every month.
Man, I live in Detroit, too, because it was, you know, they have a bus system, okay? Not a very good bus system, in my opinion. So, in Detroit, you have to almost have an automobile.
Yeah, you have to.
Okay? Because a lot of the factories weren't in the city, so you'd have to get have a car. So, state of Michigan needs to really take a look at that. I also picked up I found a magazine, Chauncey, from 2007. Kiplinger's, all right?
Okay.
One of the ones that we use for my tips. And it was just talking about some of the stocks back in 2007. That would be a good goodbye, okay? And I just thought we'd throw a few of those out before we hit a couple of our other picks that we talked about. One was Apple, okay? 10 years ago, Apple computer. We know all about Apple, right? Apple iPhone. They off the charts, man. $14 a share back in 2007. $14 a share for a stock of Apple. Today, $141.47. Not bad, huh?
You're right.
That's a great story. Yeah, great story. And then, of course, they talk about Buffett.
Warren Buffett.
Warren Buffett.
They doing movies. They doing movies on him now, everything.
The man is a financial genius. So back then, a share of Berkshire, okay, 10 years ago, $150,000 a share. You hear what I just said?
Yes.
$150,000 a share.
When? 10 years ago?
10 years ago. Wow. Berkshire. Okay, because remember what you're buying is Berkshire is this conglomerate.
That own all these companies.
Just buy stuff. And then they take these companies that are struggling, and they turn them around, and they make them profitable.
Yeah, he buys companies. He say, I remember watching the episode, because I do watch his stuff. And he said a guy called him from Saudi Arabia. It was like, I got this, I want to sell you. I got this company. He told him what it was. He told him the stocks. He never seen the company. He bought the company.
Okay.
Over the phone.
I believe him. Because he probably had, while he was talking to this guy, he probably had his folks doing research.
His team, he gave the numbers, and he sent the numbers to his team. And it's like, it'll be a good buy. And he bought it for like $30 million.
Okay.
He made somebody rich that fast off a phone call.
10 years ago, when you forked over this $150,000 a share to get into this Berkshire, today, that one share that you purchased is worth $256,580. Okay?
Yes.
That's double.
How much again? 200?
$256,000. That's $250,000 a share that you have to buy. Now, you can buy the Class B shares that they sell. Okay? Small. They're around $170.
Yeah.
But when you buy into this bad boy, you're buying into something you know is going to make money.
So you spend your life savings. If you got 100 and something thousand, it's worth giving. And 10 years ago, it was worth giving up to him.
Giving up to him. Because right now, you well over $250,000.
So you made 10 years, you made $100,000 doing nothing.
Basically, the stock almost tripled, man. Yeah. So, again, man, it's all about investing, finding that the right time to get in. And there's still a lot of money to be made.
That's right. Passive income and establishing some business or some idea. Just got to just keep on working at it. Keep on working at it every day and keep on building and showing and
it's working, folks,
and being able to see.
We got to figure out a way to get some of this wealth. That's the name of the game. Okay, you don't want to be a consumer all your life. At some point in time, you want to be on their receiving end when these companies pay you out dividends and appreciation and stock options. Be a part of that. Okay, that means your money is working for you versus you working for your money. And we all have to. We all have to work for our money. I get that. But at some point in time, you should be putting yourself in a position so your money can work for you. It's not that hard. Now, rocket scientist happens every day. We just got to get disciplined and do our due diligence and be committed to doing things differently, and it'll happen.
Yep, I was watching who's that? Chad Johnson the other day. He used to play for the Cincinnati Bengals.
Bengals, old Chad.
Ocho Cinco, right?
Ocho Cinco.
So we were watching a special of him the other day. I'm at home watching him, and it's like a 4-minute segment. He was on some type of show. So he said, talking about money, talking about how cheap he is. He said, I've been poor since 1978. So that means that's the year he was born. And he talked about, the guy said, you got money? He said, no, I don't. He said, I'm not rich like the owner.
No, not owner rich.
He said this. He said, I haven't spent no money. He's like, what about these lavish houses and everything? And he said, that's reality TV money.
Mm-hmm.
He said, what about the car? He said, I got a Ferrari. I got a Phantom. I got this. I got that. He said, I put that in the contract with the reality TV money, and it gave those cars was – those pay for. Then he said, what about a jewelry and all that? He said, that's from Claire's.
Claire's. How he pull that off?
He say, that's from Claire's. He say, I just get them to make Rolexes and stuff, and a cubic zirconia sign the same way in the light as a diamond. He say, I got money already. Why do I need to buy a necklace that costs $50,000 to $60,000? Why do I need to do that?
Smart buddy.
He say, and then I don't drink. He say, them friends that want to hang with you, the entourage, I don't have that. Mm-hmm. See, I don't drink alcohol.
Good.
He say, so my idea of having a good time is not going to the club spending $50,000.
Right. That's how you hold on to your money.
Now. Yeah, he say, that's I'm foolish. Straight.
We talked about
they say,
that.
Well, he say, well, you did. He say, no, I didn't do nothing. The media did. He said, I was trying to play football good and talk about how good I was at football.
Yes, he did. He
said, they put the image around me as something else. He said, I didn't do that. Uh-huh. He said, the media did. He said, you better watch the media.
And he got paid for it.
He said, I play football. He said, when number 85 came across, my fake gold chain on with the Cuban zirconias in it. You know, he said, gold teeth in his mouth. He said, that was an image to, because I had a helmet on. He said, I was trying to market myself to get paid.
Okay.
He said, I don't spend no money. Football. He said, I'm cheap. He said, I can't even keep woman.
He do. I seen one. He go to McDonald's.
Yeah.
He said, he loved McDonald's.
He said, I can't keep a woman. He said, because I can't spend no money. I was like, yeah. But that was a great way to see somebody, see a professional athlete say, look, he said, what do I need jewelry for? Mm-hmm. Why I need to spend all that money on some jewelry? It's not worth it.
Right.
To say I paid this much for something, and he said, I'd rather have it in my pocket.
That's it. Have it available. Be it liquid. Call up my financial advisor.
Yep, and have it.
Say, I need to invest. I want to invest in a particular item that I just got hooked up on, and I want to get into it. So that's how you spend your money, because you're going to make some money. All right, Coach, what else we got? Anything else?
I think that's it. That's a pretty good show. Stocks going up for prison stocks. So that means don't get in no trouble. Stay out of trouble.
No. And be on this side of the prison.
That's right.
Getting paid.
That's okay? Right.
For those that are knuckleheads that's going right. in, you're going to get paid for those that are being incarcerated.
So
if
it's
you
like,
got any questions, call me and challenge you. We'll tell you how to buy the stock.
Yep. So buy the stock, give when you can, and do right. I got people that I work with that I help and I teach classes at MCF, and a lot of my brothers, but everybody make decisions and choices, and you look at the financial people in the financial world are benefiting off mistakes that we're making in society.
Pretty clear. Pretty
so that's,
clear.
That's all it is, a clear picture. That's all we're trying to put out there. Don't make the mistakes, and we won't, and America won't capitalize on you. Because it turned into capitalism right there.
Yes, it is.
Taking advantage of people that they make a bad decision without rehabilitating them and showing them the right way to do things. That's one thing our country is guilty of.
Yes, it is. Because if it wasn't, we wouldn't have as many repeat offenders.
And if prison had no stock, well, who would be in prison then?
Okay.
Nobody.
These companies wouldn't go into business if they didn't think that they could give the stockholders a return on their money.
That's right. So that's why okay. That's why they've been creating. And it hurts. Seeing that, but in the same capacity.
It's a free enterprise country.
That's right. We bought our choices. We stuck at our choices. Let's make the choices not to commit the crimes and do the negative things. And some situations are out of our hands, but we got to always make sure we surround ourselves in the right environment. I'm Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.